Srila Prabhupada, Vidyadhara Bhakti Vedanta Ki, Grantha Raja Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Giriraj Maharaj Ki, Gopremanande. So what did we discuss last night? No. Class?
Then Maharaj Mahārāj asked by the resident of Vrindavan as to who Lord Krishna is.
Yeah.
And because he was just came back from the kingdom of Kubera,
Varuna.
So he described the how opulently Lord Krishna was worshipped there. And so they all felt happy, and then they thought, what would be our destination, that we have seen the Supreme Person. And so then Lord Krishna showed them the opulence of rich, and the Madhya River there, so they all got attracted.
Good. Anything else?
Different times during the day, just to help us to remember Krishna and what does he do in a particular time.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. Anything else?
And we discussed three asanas in Vrindavan, and there is only one in Vaikuntha, and Goloka Vrindavan is more opulent than the Vaikuntha, but it's hidden under the Madhavas.
Good. Anything else?
We learned about the Astakalya Leela. Lord Krishna does. He, about 6 o'clock, he comes back.
Don't tell the whole thing now.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone can look it up themselves. Anything else?
We go last time to see facilities by Yudhmaya, because Krishna and all the Vedvasis to realize that they are actually living in the highest opulence that they can live in.
Good. Anything else? Okay. So tonight we'll begin chapter 29. So after 12 years of study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we come to the culmination, which is called Rasa Panchadaya. 5 chapters describing Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. This is the most confidential section of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. We have no qualification whatsoever to enter this, but because we're studying systematically, by Prabhupada's grace, we have come to this. So, in a very reverential and a very devotional and a serious way we should study this section. So it should not be misconstrued and taken for something mundane. This is Krishna with his eternal consorts in their most intimate dealings. So it should not be looked upon in a mundane way. So study it with the correct consciousness, and then Krishna will reciprocate. Let's purify our hearts. Okay. Text number 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text number 1. Sri Badarayani said, Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in all opulences, yet upon seeing those autumn nights scented with blossoming jasmine flowers, he turned his mind toward loving affairs. To fulfill his purposes, he employed his internal potency. Okay, so we'll read the first paragraph.
As we begin the famous narration of Lord Krishna's Rasa dance,
a dance of love with beautiful young girls. Questions will inevitably arise in the minds of ordinary people regarding the propriety of God's romantic dancing with many young girls in the middle of a full moon autumn night. In his description of Lord's rasa dance in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada painstakingly explains the spiritual purity of his transcendental activities. Those advanced in the science of Krishna, the great teachers of all acharyas, leave no doubt that Lord Krishna is full and satisfied in himself, free from all material desires, which is, after all, a sense of incompleteness or lack.
Very good. So what are the points there?
Krishna is purest of the pure.
What is that?
Purest of the pure. Krishna is purest of the pure. And Srila Prabhupada says, anybody who has been enchanted by the beauty of Krishna will forget everything of the material world.
When will that day come? Anything else?
There was no lust feeling in Krishna. Actually, he was only a little boy, 7-8 years old. But he just wanted to enjoy so that the gopis feel good for their enjoyment, actually. Not for his own.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wants to enjoy also.
Okay.
He's the supreme enjoyer.
Okay.
So, the first point is that these pastimes are free from lust. Chaitanya Charitamrita tells us that the definition of lust is atmendriya priti. The definition of kam, or lust, is wanting to use your senses, indriya, for your own atma, or your own selfish pleasure. The definition of prema is krishnendriya priti, where we want to give satisfaction to the indriya, or the senses of Krishna. That is prema. So what is taking place here in the rasa lila, it is not kaam, it is prema. Because both Krishna and the gopis, they give pleasure to each other based on the mood of love, or in the consciousness of prema. There is no lust in this pastime. So even though a materialist may see it as lust, there is no lust there. Krishna is devoid of lust. He is Shuddha, as is described in the Ishopanishad. Krishna is devoid of material contamination. And so are the gopis. They're devoid of material contamination. So there is nothing there in their consciousness that can be seen as material. So this must be understood from the very beginning. Now, who is it that he's calling into the forest? The gopis. Who are the gopis? Eternal associates. Now, what are their bodies constituted of? Right, they're personifications of Krishna's Hladini Shakti. Srimati Radharani is the personification of Krishna's pleasure potency, or to say it even more correctly, the pleasure potency emanates from Srimati Radharani. So Krishna is calling his own potency to the forest. So it is completely divine. There is nothing material about it whatsoever. It is God and God's Shakti, Shakti and Shaktiman, simply uniting in pleasure, pastimes. Rupa Goswami explains in the Radha Krishna Gana Desh Dipika that there are 800,000 eternally liberated gopis, Nitya Siddha gopis, 800,000. So he's calling them into the forest. So there's nothing material. And everyone else who's being called, as we'll discuss as we go through the chapter, they are Sadhana Siddha gopis. But if they've been called into the forest, it means they've also reached the level of prema. So they're Nitya Siddha. eternal associates of Krishna. So it is God and God's eternal pleasure potency, or the jivas, who are nitya siddha, being called to the forest to have eternal pastimes. So there's nothing mundane about this whatsoever. This has to be understood. Okay, any points so far?
So there are 3 million spheres.
What's that?
3 million
spheres. 3 billion. 3 billion. In the Rasa Leela.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a little bit later on.
So out of them,
800,000.
We're Nitya Siddha.
That's what I said. Any other point?
It's interesting, the translation begins with Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who then all appearances, yet upon Sri, which means he almost uses the affirmation that we have to understand the Supreme Personality, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we don't understand this through the 9 temples, then we can't understand this.
Yeah.
So it seems the word yet is used.
Yeah.
As if people will get bewildered by it.
Yeah, and it has another significance also, we'll discuss as we go through. There's another significance why it's saying that too. Okay, second paragraph. So, whatever bundle could you? Read 2 and 3.
Materialistic person and impersonal philosophers have only reject the bona fide explanation of Sri Krishna's transcendental nature. There's no reason to deny the beautiful reality of an absolute person able to perform absolute romantic activities, of which our so-called romance is merely a shadow or perverted reflection. The irrational insistence that material activities cannot be a reflection of the perfect spiritual activities performed by the God reflects the unimaginative emotional disposition of those who oppose the reality of Sri Krishna. This psychological disposition of the non-devotees who leads them to fervently deny the very existence of the absolute person, unfortunately boils down to what may be succinctly described as envy. Since the overwhelming majority of the impersonal critics eagerly pursue their own romantic affairs, which they consider quite real and even spiritual, the actual supreme lover is Lord Krishna. The Vedanta Sutra begins by declaring that the absolute truth is the source of everything. And even Western philosophy was born in a somewhat awkward attempt at finding the original one behind the apparent many material existence. Conjugal love, one of the most intense and demanding aspects of human existence, can hardly have nothing at all to do with the supreme reality. In fact, the conjugal love experienced by human beings is a mere reflection of spiritual reality, in which the same love exists in an absolute pristine stage. Thus, it is clearly stated here that when Krishna decided to enjoy the romantic atmosphere of autumn, he resorted to his spiritual potency, Yoga Maya Upadita. The spiritual nature of Lord Krishna's conjugal affairs is a major theme in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
That's good. So any points there?
Yeah. Our romance is a perverted reflection.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with reality.
Anything else?
Morality and spirituality are two different levels. Morality is highly covered, is largely covered by man-made perceptions of the absolute reality. The moralists will usually argue on this one. How can God leave his wife and go?
Anything else?
We basically are troubled with lust, anger, greed, pride, and ego. And here, Srila Prabhupada is the one who said, he painstakingly is basically trying to provide this activity as spiritual rather than, you know, because people like me, I mean, it's going to be very difficult to understand. So that's why he's trying to convert that into a pure activity, which is what the Supreme Personality of God is doing.
So what it means is that Chaitanya Charitamrita describes this is called Adi Ras. The conjugal pastimes in Radha and Krishna and the Gopis, it is Adi Ras, which means it is the original rasa. And what we see in the material world is simply the perverted reflection of that. So what is the highest thing in the spiritual world is the lowest thing in the material world. The thing which binds you the most in the material world, in the spiritual world, is the most liberating thing. And the only way to get to destroy the calm or the lust is to develop the prema, following the footsteps of the resonance in the spiritual world. So by hearing these pastimes, if they're heard correctly and properly with the right consciousness, it purifies the heart of all the lust which is situated within the consciousness. If we hear it properly. If we don't hear it properly, if we project our perverted mentality or consciousness onto these pastimes, then it will increase the lust. So you have to be very careful. You have to analyze what takes place while you're studying. If you feel like the lust is increasing, then you pull back. And you go back to the earlier stages of the Bhagavatam. Actually, Prabhupada says don't go past Canto 1 and 2 unless you're free from the desire for illicit sex. So if you're feeling like that, then you go back. You stay with Bhagavad Gita and the fundamentals. But if you're feeling it is purifying the consciousness, then study it very carefully, and it will remove the lust in the consciousness. So, specifically, it says in the Sanskrit, we begin to analyze the Sanskrit, it says, Yogamayam Upashrita. What does that mean? Yogamaya Upashrita.
Yoga to his spiritual potency.
Yeah, Yoga Maya.
He is taking the help of Yoga Maya, his own soul.
Yeah, Upashrita.
Upashrita is taking the help from
shelter. Shelter. What do we call ashram? Shelter. Ashrita. Upashrita. He's taking shelter of Yoga Maya. This is God Himself. Right? He thinks in his consciousness, he thinks, I want to enjoy with the gopis. Who will help me? Just like if you're a rich man, you don't want to clean your house. You bring someone else in to clean, to take care of things. Or if you're a rich man, you have people organizing everything for you. Right? So Krishna doesn't want to organize everything. But he thinks, who can organize it for me? I want to dance with the gopis tonight. So then he calls, out of all of his potencies, Yoga Maya. Come. The spiritual potency. And Upashrita, he takes shelter of her. Which means, literally, it says later in the pastime, that Krishna himself, God himself, becomes like a puppet in the pastime. Mm-hmm. He becomes like an actor in the pastime. He's just in the pastime. He says, it's like if you're very rich, you give your friend $1 million, you say, now organize a party for me. I'll just turn up. I'll just come and I'll enjoy. You organize everything. So he said that to Yogamaya. He said, you organize everything for me. I want to enjoy with the gopis. Mm-hmm. So you organize it all, and I will just... And Krishna, and it says later in the pastime, Krishna himself is amazed by the arrangements. God himself sits back and he says, this is amazing. This is beyond my calculations. My potency is doing all of this independently of me. So Yogamaya Upashrita. So he gives full shelter. It describes that Krishna is Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan means, Madan means Cupid. Mohan means the one who bewilders Cupid. In other words, the Acharyas point out Krishna is the original Cupid. And as we've described previously, he's only 16 years old, 15 years old. He's in Kaishora Lila at this point. Which means he's 15, even though it says he's 8. But eternally, these pastimes take place when he's 15, 16. The Acharyas point out that even though he's 8 years old, you add another half of the age, so he would be 12. So, but actually, it's 15, 16, technically. But, I mean, here he's saying like this in the material world. He's 8 years old, so if someone criticizes him, you say, well, there's no lust in me because I'm only 8. So where's the lust? But in the spiritual world, he's 15, 16. It means Kaishor Lila. So it said he's intoxicated by his youth. when you're young and you're strong, you become intoxicated. Do you remember when you were like this? You know, when we're 15, 16, we become intoxicated, right? Because we're so strong and our senses are becoming awakened. So he's intoxicated. Right? So he begins to see the moon coming up. He sees the situation in Vrindavan, and it awakens his intoxication. He becomes desirous to enjoy. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. All of us like to enjoy. Right? We're all enjoyers. That desire to enjoy, because it is in God, it is within all of us. And it is the main motivation for all of our activities in this world and the spiritual world. That's why Krishna acts. Because he has a desire to enjoy. Right? It is overwhelming. I just want to enjoy, have fun. Eternally and continuously, unlimitedly. And it is within all of us also. But at the moment, we're trying to enjoy separately from Krishna. Whereas in a pure consciousness, we want to enjoy in the association of Krishna, in the service of Krishna. So the supreme enjoyer, he is awaking here. Now, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says this is called the Rasa Panchajaya. Pancha means five chapters. Right? So it goes from chapter 29 to 33. 30, 31, 32, 33. So these five chapters describe the Rasa Lila or Krishna's pastimes of the gopis. The 10th canto is compared to Krishna's face. And these five chapters are compared to Krishna's smile. Because the smile is the most beautiful part of the face. When you smile, the face becomes beautiful. So this is Krishna in his most intoxicated form of consciousness. Krishna is enjoying to the supreme. So Krishna is smiling because he's about to enjoy with these gopis, with these most dear associates. So this pastime gives God more pleasure than any other pastime. And later on, when we get into the later chapters of the pastime, it says this pastime is so powerful, all of his other pastimes personify and they come to watch this pastime. This pastime stands supreme above and beyond any other pastime. Because it gives God supreme pleasure. It is full of the deepest madhurya, or the deepest sweetness, and also the most extraordinary aishwarya, which we'll see as it goes, as the pastime unfolds. So this is the topmost of all pastimes. Sava rasa sa, which means of all pastimes, it is the highest. So, if you look into the verse, there are three udipans, which are situated within the Sanskrit. What does udipan mean?
Remember, it's the one that remains called motivation.
What's that? No. Stimulus. Yeah, udipan. This is in nectar of devotion. To understand this, you have to study nectar of devotion, bhakti rasamrita sindhu, southern wave, when you go into the later sections. Dhananda Swami has an excellent book called Waves of Devotion. If you study that, you'll get a deep analysis of these things. Udipan means stimulus to ecstasy, something which stimulates the ecstasy, both in Krishna and in the devotees. So there are three things in this opening verse which stimulate Krishna. God himself becomes stimulated. He becomes enthused to enjoy. Now, what are the three things? The first thing is the time. Now, what is special about the time?
It's autumn night.
Autumn, very good.
Full moon night.
Full moon, very good. Excellent. It is autumn. Autumn is very beautiful in Vrindavan. Spring is also very beautiful. Actually, it says all the seasons are appearing. They're all coming to give Krishna pleasure. They all arrive. Everyone just wants to serve. When Krishna does Rasa Lila, everyone just comes to serve. It even says these other incarnations come and watch. When Krishna does Rasa Lila with the gopis, Nisringadev, Ramachandra, They all stand around invisibly and they all watch. Because they're intoxicated by this pastime. His other pastimes personify. Jao Keli, when he has the water pastime, right? Julan, Leela, all that, they all personify, take personality, and they all come and they watch the pastime. That's how amazing this pastime is. So the first thing which stimulates him is the time. It's evening. Has anyone been to Vrindavan? Hands up if you've been to Braj, Vrindavan. Okay, most of you. Okay. So there's something that happens there at night. As soon as the sun goes down in Vrindavan, there's something in the air. So the time is mystical. It's evening. The sun has set. The moon is rising. So in Vrindavan, at night time, it is an Udipan. It stimulates Krishna's consciousness. He becomes enthused. Oh, it's evening. Right? And the moon begins to rise. In the spiritual world, what shape is the moon?
Full.
How many days of month is it full?
Every day.
Right. In the spiritual world, there's only one type of moon, full, every day, akanda, which means it's completely full, complete, every night. It comes up, it is complete. So it rises in the east, and as it rises, it is full, and when the moon is full, it's very beautiful, very powerful, very stimulating. Like last night, also this morning when I got up, the moon was setting, but it was very full, so very powerful, stimulates the mind. So when it rises, Krishna sees it, he becomes enthused. So the time is an Udipan, right? It stimulates Krishna, it excites Krishna. And then the place is an Udipan. What is the place?
Forest.
Yep. What is the place? What's that? Yeah, it is Vrindavan. It's Vrindavan. Have you been to Vrindavan? Hands up if you've been to Vrindavan. Okay. So, have you ever been to a place more amazing?
Madhuvan.
What's that?
Madhuvan.
Madhuvan. That's your favorite, or?
Yeah.
Okay, that's nice. But it says that the 12 forests, because there are 12 forests in Vrindavan, in Braj, it says the principal forest is Vrindavan. Vrindavan runs from Keshigat, you know Keshigat? To Nandagram. So it's the biggest out of all the forests. Govardhan Hill, all that area, all that whole area, Varshana, Sanket, all the way down to the Jamuna, that's Vrindavan. So the place, Vrindavan is the most wonderful place, and we don't even see it as it is, or as it even was, right? But the way it was, or is, in the spiritual mind, it erupts with aromas. And we discussed when we went back to chapter 21, the last pastime of the Gopis, Venu Gita. Remember there were two things? Does anyone remember? It's the two things in Vrindavan which are extraordinary, which stimulate?
Jalam and
the breeze.
Breeze and water.
And the water in Vrindavan. These two things especially are wonderful. The breeze is intoxicating. You know, sometimes even in this world, you walk in a garden and then it just, you know, like the scent of jasmine, you know, night bloom, beautiful, it almost intoxicates you when it hits you, like the scent, like that. So Vrindavan is intoxicating. You just walk into it and even Krishna becomes intoxicated. Right? And the all of the lakes in Vrindavan, the Jamuna itself, right? All of the lakes, the breeze goes across the lakes and the coolness of the water, it blows onto Krishna's face and intoxicates him. So the place is making him intoxicated. Right? He just wants to go out and enjoy. He sees the moon, he smells the breeze, and he just wants to run into the forest, to enjoy himself. Right? And then what's that?
He wants to play the flute.
He wants to play the flute, yeah. That's coming up. And then, the third thing, which is the third Udipan, or the third stimulation, is the people. So who does it mention in this verse?
The gopis.
The gopis. Huh? Why do they intoxicate him? Most beautiful, yeah, in every way. In the next couple of verses, I'll explain a little bit about them. But everything about them, their singing voices is intoxicating. When the gopis sing during the Rasa Leela, because when they're dancing, they're all singing. So when Krishna sings, it is intoxicating. When the gopis sing, it is intoxicating. They intoxicate Krishna. Right? Whenever Radharani sings, right, Krishna just becomes mad. Right? Her beauty, the way she dresses, the ornaments she wears, everything that the gopis do, it intoxicates Krishna. Krishna becomes overwhelmed. Right? So these three things are driving him mad. Right? You're about to see God go mad. You're about to see God go mad. Right? He begins to become completely overwhelmed at this point in time. So these three things. Now, it describes in the verse the word Ratri. Ratri means night. So he said to the gopis back in chapter 21 in the Venu Gita, he said that, was it in the chapter 21 of the Venu Gita?
21.
Yeah, it's 21, but I'm just thinking if it was in that chapter where he said it. Yeah, I think it was. My mind's not going 100%, but I think it was in chapter 20. He said, in the future we will dance together. Was it there?
Stolen. Steal the garment.
Very good. What chapter was that? 24, 25? Okay, so maybe 22?
22.
Okay, so it was in that pastime. When he stole the garments. Very good. Very good. So when he stole the garments in that pastime, he said, in the future, we will dance together in the nights. He speaks in plural. So what he's actually meaning is they'll dance together tonight, but they're going to dance for the night of Lord Brahma. So he's calling many nights to come. Because one's not enough. When that one finishes, the next one starts. And it goes for whatever a night of Lord Brahma is, which I think is millions, maybe even billions of years. So he just calls many, many nights. He says, come now and serve me. Then it says specifically that he becomes intoxicated by the Malika. The Malika flower is jasmine. Jasmine's intoxicating. You see it just out here? Radhashtami time. There's two jasmines out there, but the pink one has much more fragrance. That comes later, like insect. So it's interesting because this is autumn, and Mallika, jasmine, doesn't grow in autumn. But because she wants to serve Krishna, she manifests that he smells her scent. So that's what's driving him into the forest. She's saying, come into the forest. I will serve you. And then it says, Manas Chakre. This means the Lord's mind has been stolen by the gopis. This shows us how qualified the gopis are. How qualified do you have to be to attract God's mind? If you're a pure devotee, you will attract Krishna's mind. Prabhupada said, Bhaktisanta Sarasvati Thakur said, don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. So Krishna wants to see the gopis. Why? Because they've captured his mind by their loving devotion. Right? They are so qualified that God himself, his mind is controlled by them. If you read the 25 qualities of Srimati Radharani in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, you read Radharani has 25 qualities. One of the final qualities is that she controls Krishna. She is so qualified. Think about this. Someone is so qualified that God himself is controlled by that person. So how qualified that person must be?
Madan Mohan Mohini.
Yeah, Madan Mohan Mohini. So she's so qualified, the gopis are so qualified that they're attracting God's mind himself, which proves the point, and this is an important point to understand, God is not Atmarama.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Atmarama means self-satisfied. So if he is so self-satisfied, why is he so attracted to the gopis? Why doesn't he just go into the forest and sit by himself? No, because he needs the gopis to be there. His pleasure cannot escalate unless the gopis are there. He doesn't just call one of them, he calls them all. No? You all come. 3 billion of you come. Now. So any points so far?
See, the Lord always wants to please his devotees.
Yeah.
So when Lord Ramchandra was there, they were so attracted to him, even that time. But he said, this is not the time because I can have only one wife. So those gopis...
Sages of Dandakaranya.
Yeah, so they came as gopis.
That's coming up.
I'm just wondering whether... I mean, he's enjoying too, but is it... He's doing it for their pleasure or his pleasure?
Both. Okay. The moon then rose, anointing the face of the western horizon with the reddish hue of his comforting rays, and thus dispelling the pain of all who watched him rise. The moon was like a beloved husband who returns after a long absence and adorns the face of his beloved wife with red kunkum. This is very... this part of the Bhagavatam is extremely rustic. What does rustic mean?
Mellow.
Yeah, rustic means someone who can taste mellow, taste rasa. Krishna is known as rasa rasika, one who can relish rasa, pleasure, taste, mellows. If you go back to the very first verses of the Bhagavatam, the first 3 verses, it actually describes in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, this Bhagavatam is for the rasika Vaishnavas. We have to become rasika, which means expert in relishing the mellows of the pastimes of Krishna. And attracted to the pastimes of Krishna. The Bhagavatam says in the 5th chapter of the 1st canto, the people have no taste for this. They're like crows. They want to hear mundane topics. No taste. You read this to them, they'll say, I'm not interested in it. They'll go and listen to some mundane garbage. But someone who has taste, then he'll be attracted to this. So this is for rasika devotees. Right? Because there's so many intricate details here. Now, the light of the moon it becomes a stimulus for Krishna's pastimes, because the full moon light is gliding down through the leaves of the forest, so it's creating beautiful patterns all across the ground. Now it's interesting because Chandra, the moon, is, in one sense, the forefather of Krishna, right? Which Vamsa, which dynasty does Krishna appear in? Chandra Vamsa. So this is like his great-great-great-grandfather who's rising. Now what's taking place is he's rising and he's reddish. You see, if you go to Vrindavan and the moon rises, first it's reddish, same as the sun in India. The sun, when it comes up, it's reddish. Here in Australia, it's just white. You know, but in India, it comes up reddish. Right? And the moon also rises like that. Now, he comes up on the eastern horizon. Now, which demigod is in charge of the eastern direction.
Indra.
Indra, very good. Very good. Indra. So Krishna is thinking as the moon comes up, I am in his dynasty. Yad yad acharati shrestas. Whatever a great person does, I will follow. He's coming up on the eastern horizon. He's coming up on in Indra's direction. And Indra's wife is attracted to the moon because the moon is so powerful and so beautiful. And when the husband comes after a long time, he takes kumkum and he touches it to his wife, reddish. So that reddish light is coming on the eastern direction and the moon is attracting Indra's wife. So Krishna thinks, yad yad acharati shrestas, whatever he does, I will also do because I am in his dynasty. He is taking the wives of others, I will also do it. It's very rustic, very poetic, very intimate, very intricate. All this must be true. How can it not be true? People say, think this is mythology. How could this be? Who could even think of all of this? You know, when I was reading this, I'm thinking, who could even imagine all of this? It's too intricate. It's too perfect. It's too poetic. You know, Krishna is saying, my forefather, he will take the wives of others, attract the wives of others, I'll also do it. Because he is doing it, I will also do it. So that is his mentality, his abhiman. Abhiman means his consciousness. We're seeing into the mind of God right now. That's why the Bhagavatam is the most intimate of all the scriptures. That's why Lord Chaitanya favored this above all other scriptures, because you go inside God's mind and heart. So we're looking into how Krishna thinks. It's so attractive.
So who is here the wife of Chandra?
What's that?
Who is here the wife of Chandra?
Who?
In the verse, the moon.
Wife of Indra.
Indra's wife.
Okay.
Yeah, he's attracted. Chandra, the moon, is attracting Indra's wife.
Okay.
Like that. So, So Krishna is becoming intoxicated with himself. He's intoxicated with himself. That's Krishna's mood. He's becoming intoxicated. He's thinking, I can also do like this. I will take them. Text number 3. Lord Krishna saw the unbroken disc of the full moon glowing with the red effulgence of newly applied vermilion, as if it were the face of the goddess of fortune. He also saw the Kumuda lotuses opening in response to the moon's presence and the forest gently illuminated by its rays. Thus the Lord began to play sweetly on his flute, attracting the minds of the beautiful-eyed gopis. So, it mentions here there are two vibhavas. Vibhav means stimulus to love. So two of them are here. One is the Udipan, which means the moon. The moon is stimulating the gopis at this point. The gopis are seeing the moon rising and they're becoming attracted, or they're remembering Krishna because the moon reminds them of Krishna, and the romantic atmosphere which is being created by the moon rising, that is stimulating the gopis, their desire to meet Krishna. And then the second stimulus, or the second vibhava, is called alambana. Alambana means Krishna himself. Krishna himself attracts the gopis, right? So things in Vrindavan or external, they attract, and also Krishna himself. So how does Krishna attract the gopis in this verse? He plays his flute. So he's out in the forest and he begins to play his flute. So now we begin to hear. about the effect of Krishna's flute. Now when Krishna plays his flute, it captivates the gopis' hearts. Now why do they become captivated? What is it about his flute which captivates them or attracts them?
They want to dance.
They want to dance? Yeah. Very specifically. It touches the lips of Krishna. But what's the sound which is coming out? What are they hearing?
Their own name.
Very good. Yeah, they're hearing their own name. Right. So Krishna's playing the flute, and it's an alambana. It directly attracts them to Krishna. As Krishna is saying, he's saying, Radha, Lalita, Vishaka, Champakalata, Sudevi, Rangadevi. He's calling everyone. Right? This is another point that proves he is God. Because 3 billion people are simultaneously hearing their name. And there's only one Krishna, and there's only one flute. So how is that possible? How is it possible that Nanda Maharaj has 900,000 cows and Krishna remembers the name of every single cow? How is that possible?
Inconceivable.
So it's not possible. This is God. Right? And he calls the flute and everyone is hearing their name. Right? And they're unaware because they all think, this is what they think when they hear the flute, they think Krishna just wants me to come. That's how they think. I mean, how would that make you feel? You know what we're like with our gurus? You know, you watch everyone with their guru when the guru is around. Yeah, everyone's like waiting for some attention just for you. Right? If the guru looks at you or says your name or looks directly at you, you become like overwhelmed. You feel special. There's a famous book that I wrote many years ago, How to Make Friends and Influence People. Dale Carnegie. Anyone read that book?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, yeah. 4.
I've read it.
Yeah. If you want to, the title of the book is How to Win Friends and Influence People. If you want to make friends and influence people, read the book. It's an excellent book. Excellent. You can read it. He's non-devotee, but excellent book. Right? So he says one of the key ways, you use people's names. Right? You say their name when you're speaking. Everyone likes to hear the sound of their name. Psychologically, it's very pleasing. So when Krishna plays the flute, everyone hears their name. Because they're hearing their name, they think, he's calling me. Out of everyone, he calls me. So they just run into the forest. But then as they're running in, they see everyone else is running in. And they think, what are you guys doing here? I thought he's just calling me. And they're all running. And then they all get there. And they all start looking at each other. And Radharani looks, and guess who's there? Chandravali. Right? And Chandravali looks, and guess who's there? Radharani. Right? And they're rivals. So they think, Radharani's thinking, what is she doing here? Right? And Chandravali's thinking, what is she doing here? Right? And then Krishna, you will see later on, Krishna deals in such a way to bring them all together. That's how expert he is. Right? He's so expert. Because he knows there's rivalry. He sees what's going on. He looks at everyone's face. Right? And he sees they're looking at them, they're looking at them. And he thinks, okay, I'll bring them all together. Right? He's expert. He's the best at everything he does. Right? I was reading last couple of days, Kavi Karnapur says he's the topmost comedian. Right? He is the best. Right? There's no one like him.
He's a Goswami, isn't he?
What's that?
He's a Goswami.
Kavi Karnapur? Yeah. One of them. Is anyone reading this book? Ananda Vrindavan Champu?
Yeah.
Reading it while we're studying this? Yeah. You should all be reading it. If you want to go to the next level, then Kavi Karnapur, and even Vishnu Chakravartikar Thakur even quotes Kavi Karnapur. Ananda Vrindavan Champu just opens the whole thing up to another level. And you actually, if you want to know God, read the book, because it goes into God's mind and heart. Right? It says the most intimate, amazing things about his consciousness. So, okay. When the young women of Vrindavan heard Krishna's flute song, which arouses romantic feelings, Their minds were captivated by the Lord. They went to where their lover waited, each unknown to the others, moving so quickly that their earrings swung back and forth. So when Krishna played his flute, they immediately dropped everything and ran to him. Now this is amazing. You have to meditate on this very carefully. It's described in Ananda Brindavan Champu very elaborately. You have to meditate on this point. They dropped everything immediately. This is the level of attraction. That's why they're considered the topmost devotees. Now they had to give up everything to go to Krishna. Because this entire pastime, all the conjugal love that Krishna has in Vrindavan, there's no swakya. There's no married relationship in Vrindavan. It is all parakya. Parakya is very difficult. Right? If you're having an affair with someone, right, especially amongst us, because we're a little bit more elevated than out there, if one of us is having an affair, you have to be very careful. Right? You can't let other people know. You have to be very careful about hiding it. Right? So the gopis, but when they hear, because they're very conscientious, to hide their attraction to Krishna. Even though they're all attracted to him, they love him, they think about him all the time, but they're very cautious. But when he plays the flute on this night, they just drop everything and they just run. Literally drop. Right? Some of them are milking cows. They just get up and they just run. Right? Some of them are holding babies, like their sister's babies. They just put the baby on the ground and they just run out. Right? Think about this. We have to meditate on this. It's another level of devotion. So attracted to Krishna that everything means nothing except being with Krishna. Right? And by being with Krishna, it means they have to give up everything. It means they can't come back to the village. That's it. When they go out in the forest with Krishna, that is it. They're rejected. Right? In a cultured civilization, if you leave the family, right, or your village, and you go off with someone to have an illicit relationship and it's found out about, you're rejected. Right? They'll never be able to marry. Right? Their lives are ruined from the material standpoint. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, when Krishna plays the flute, Krishna is a thief. So he goes in and he steals them. He grabs them forcibly. Now, Krishna's a very forceful person, especially at this age. He's very forceful. So he goes in with his flute, he goes into their heart, their mind, and he grabs it. Right? And simultaneously it says he steals their sobriety. They're trying to be very sober, very self-controlled, but he just takes it in a second. Right? He steals their shyness. No? They're very shy, very controlled, but amid their chastity is just taken in an instant. He takes their fear. Right? They'll be scared to go back, but they're so ecstatic to go and be with Krishna, they don't even care. They just think, well, okay, that's it. We'll go and live in the forest. We won't come back. We don't care. If he's there, we don't care. Right? And the final thing is... their discrimination. So their intelligence. Their intelligence should be telling them, don't go. But their intelligence disappears, it evaporates. Kavi Karnapal says, just like it just liquefies, just disappears, gone. And they just think, who cares? Let's just go. So Krishna takes all of this. And that's in one moment. That's how powerful Krishna is. And in this particular pastime, he is so intense in his love for them that they can't resist. Right. And they're very powerful personalities, but they can't resist. That's how powerful Krishna is in his attraction. You have to meditate on all of this to really deeply understand it.
They just even are, you know, doing makeup. They don't even want to complete it.
Yeah, he mentions that late, a little bit later when they arrive. He says, what's going on? You don't dress properly? You come to see me, you're not even dressed properly. So do you all look like mad people? What is... Some of the gopis were milking cows when they heard Krishna's flute. They stopped milking and went off to meet him. Some left milk curdling on the stove, and others left cakes burning in the oven. Some of them were getting dressed, feeding milk to their infants, or rendering personal service to their husbands. But they all gave up these duties and went to meet Krishna. Other gopis were taking their evening meals, washing themselves, putting on cosmetics, or applying kajal to their eyes. But all the gopis stopped these activities at once, and, though their clothes and ornaments were in complete disarray, rushed off to see Krishna. So specifically, Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says, at this point in time, they're vibrama. And vibrama means bewildered. So bewildered, as it says here, they're not even dressed properly. Normally, like if you come to the temple, just like the other day was Gaur Panim, so you probably spend an hour or two dressing yourself. Right? Because you're women, that's what you do. Right? You spend an hour, like, you know, we spend 5 minutes. Right? But women are not like that. So the gopis, if they're going to meet Krishna, normally they would spend 1 or 2 hours dressing nicely to meet Krishna. But they're so captivated, just by hearing his flute and hearing their name called, they just run out. As they're running, they're putting on earrings, they're putting stuff on the wrong places, and it's all... It says when they get out there, some of them are just still carrying their clothes. They haven't even dressed yet. They're just carrying like their top piece and everything. They get out there and Krishna just looks at everyone. He says, what's taking place? So normally you're very particular that you dress, but you all look like mad people. You know, what is going on?
What word did he use for
me? What is that?
What word did he use for this condition?
Vibrama.
Vibrama.
Yeah. Bewildered. Their husbands, fathers, brothers, and other relatives tried to stop them, but Krishna had already stolen their hearts. Enchanted by the sound of his flute, they refused to turn back. So, there were different types of gopis. This will be described now in the next few verses. So there were Nichasita gopis like Radha, Lalita, Vishaka, all of the Nichasita gopis. But then there were Sadhanasita gopis, right? Different categories. There were sages of Dandakaranya who saw Lord Ramachandra. But they could not have, because they were sages, they could not have conjugal relationship. So then he said, you'll take birth as gopis. So they all took birth as gopis. There were Shrutichari, which means the personified Vedas. They took birth as gopis. There were daughters of demigods, right, who took birth so that they could have relationship with Krishna. So there were all these different types. So when Krishna called them, many of them were stopped by their husbands or their brothers or their fathers. Because, you know, you're not going to let your daughter or your wife run out into the dark in the middle of the night. You'll stop them. So how did Krishna allow them to come to him? In their spiritual bodies. So some of them left their material form back with the husband. The husbands thought, okay, they're here. I stopped them. But the spiritual form left when it ran. The soul ran out into the forest to be with Krishna. So some of the gopis, the sadhanasiddha gopis, the ones who were not fully perfect yet, who didn't have complete prema, it actually describes the reason they didn't have complete prema because they had not directly associated with Radharani and the other
elderly gopis.
Nichasiddha gopis. They hadn't associated with them yet. So because they didn't get their association, they didn't have complete prema. They were still on the platform of bhava. So they were not perfect. Because it describes that as sadhakas, when we get to the platform of bhava, we go to the universe where Krishna is performing his pastimes, and we take birth as from the wombs of gopis, and then we grow up in Vrindavan to get trained. So they were on the platform of bhava. They did not have complete love for Krishna, so they could not directly associate with him yet. So therefore they had to stay back. And feeling separation from Krishna, they burnt in the fire of separation. Because they could not directly go out and associate with him in their spiritual forms. They had to stay back in the material form, they were held back. But burning in the fire of separation. And then the next day, when all the gopis who did associate with Krishna and the rest of them came back, and they began to speak about what happened that night, by hearing and associating with them, and by being held back in the fire of separation, it burned up all the impurities, and then the next night, they all went out to dance with Krishna. So for us, it means that by hearing from devotees and with devotees, it can purify all the contamination in our consciousness. Because they had to hear from Radharani and the others. And that is the whole process of bhakti, of Krishna consciousness. If you go back to the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Srimvatam Swakata Krishna, Nashta Prayashiva Bhadreshu, these verses discuss and describe that by hearing about Krishna from the mouths of devotees, all the contamination gets cleansed. So that was the process.
So only the 800,000 were there.
Some of the sadhana siddhas, the perfected sadhana siddhas also went out. They became nitya siddhas. Also. Some of the gopis, however, could not manage to get out of their houses and instead they remained home with eyes closed, meditating upon him in pure love. It's a long purport, so you can read that in your own time. For those gopis who could not go to see Krishna, intolerable separation from their beloved caused an intense agony that burned away all impious karma. By meditating upon him, they realized his embrace and the ecstasy they then felt exhausted their material piety. Although Lord Krishna is the Supreme Soul, these girls simply thought of him as their male lover and associated with him in that intimate mood. Thus, their karmic bondage was nullified and they abandoned their gross material bodies. So, because they could not go out to be with Krishna because they were restricted, how did they feel?
Intense separation.
Intense separation. But what was the feeling? What did they want to do? Very good. Yeah, they wanted to die. But then, if they died, it would make the beginning of the Rasa Lila very inauspicious. If you're about to begin something and someone dies, then everything becomes very inauspicious. So Yogamaya allowed them to stay alive and they burnt in separation. And by that burning in separation, they became purified. And then the next night they could go and dance with Krishna. So any questions or comments?
The word impious karma is difficult to understand. Is there any explanation?
In regards to that?
In regards to the translation.
Yeah.
Because the intense agony that burnt away all impious karma. Why is impious karma coming in a realm where there is no karma?
No, it just means final contamination or final inebrieties or final. At the stage of bhava, everything is almost completely. No. That's why they can't go. Yeah. The prema bhaktis left. They got a spiritual form and they went. But the bhava bhaktas, who are still not completely pure, Krishna held them back. So the example is given, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, like, if the fruit is not ripe, you put it in the sun for 2 or 3 days and it gets hot and then it ripens. So Krishna, because Krishna knows, he wants complete prema. So he held them back. He wouldn't give them a spiritual form. He let them stay there and they burnt for 2 or 3 days. and separation, just burning. They just, all they could meditate on was him, and they, all they wanted to, they could still hear the flute. Yeah, he was calling their name, and it was driving them insane. And that purification, that burned up everything. And then they rose, and then when Radharani and the others came back the next day, they heard about what took place, and that destroyed everything in the heart. And then at that point, they went. Any other question?
But the material body didn't go there.
No.
Only the spiritual body.
Only in the spiritual body. You can't associate with Krishna with the material body. Any other points? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.